What's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William the Opinion Update.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Hell yeah.
We're still bringing you that fresh Clippers news 3 days a week.
Absolutely.
You know,
there's
loving
a tiny bit of news today-ish.
There's actually some really fun stuff going on about the team across the hall, which I can't wait to discuss.
Fox Sports is doing a fantastic thing for Clippers fans starting on Sunday, which we're going to talk about too, which is awesome.
Absolutely. We're going to kick things off, though, with a talk of biggest breaks in Clippers history. Most of these are...
Ooh, what do breaks mean?
Most of these are injury breaks. However, there's also the terrible Kyrie pick, which everybody gets to love to revisit.
To kind of forget about also sometimes, but we do end on a high note.
It's so weird. It's so weird to me that peer protections weren't real then.
We're going to revisit how they reported this trade. And it's really interesting how much the NBA has changed in general from then and just what value is.
Totally. Definitely. And then we also have some biggest breaks and some good breaks. So stay tuned for those. And then Twitter Tuesday, every single Tuesday, go ahead and send your questions into @LockedOnClips.
Mm-hmm.
I will update at Charles Mockler. We'd love to hear from you.
Got a bunch of them. It was great this week.
Yeah, got a bunch of them. So thank you so much to everyone who sent those in ahead of time. so there's some great stuff in there about the future of some of our rookies, some possible free agent targets.
Oh, yeah.
Can't wait to discuss all that. And then, as we alluded to, in shavings, we're
going
to be talking about a certain loan.
A greedy-ass team is what we're going to be talking about.
A certain loan that a team across the hall applied for that they may or may not have needed. and then we're going to be talking about the Fox Sports thing that Chuck alluded to at the top. So stay tuned for all of that and more coming up right about now.
So we're talking biggest breaks in Clippers history.
Whew, it's broke.
Some of these things were broke. So, of course, we all know from Monday's episode, one of the biggest breaks in Clippers history was just a guy from San Diego wanting to trade the Celtics so he could have a team. But the Clippers do have a history of all kinds of breaks, mostly bad breaks,
mm-hmm.
bad beats, if you will. If, mm-hmm. For those who don't understand, you know what I'm saying? Like bad beats,
that.
You know, bad bets. And there's one bright one we're going to look at right at the end.
But I like where we kind of start things off here.
We're starting recent Clippers history because it's pertinent to where we are now.
I kind of feel like this one at the top here is it's so pivotal just because it's so emblematic, I guess, of kind of like what would happen with a lot of like bright rookies for the Clippers.
Yeah.
Not saying curse. I'm not saying that.
No.
I'm not saying
and
that.
Not even bright. Like, I don't even think it's necessarily that. I think it was just rookies for the Clippers. It wasn't even like necessarily ones who were going to be good. Like, there was the Olawakandi thing, which we're not going to talk about. But, like, no,
but totally.
This one is crazy.
It set the tone in kind of a weird way. And it also, I just feel like this is such a good point for modern Clippers history.
Yeah, definitely.
And that, of course, is Sean Livingston.
Oof.
Wow.
First of all, has to be gets talked about in the NBA for like greatest comeback stories ever, and it's absolutely fair.
Horrifying injury.
In terms of all sports, it needs to be talked about more.
Yeah. Horrifying.
Yeah, but his comeback was just like it was, I mean, no one thought when it happened. In case you missed it. First 2 seasons Sean Livingston was on the team. Hey, the framework is there.
Yeah,
like he was big for a point guard at that time, which is so funny because now you're like, yeah, he's 6'8". That is big, I guess, but also like not totally out of the question.
Yeah,
at all. And then there's this really funny in the Wikipedia for his third year. Wikipedia has the descriptor. Whoever put this in deserves a award. They said his third year he improves, and he was one of the few Clippers to improve from the 2005-06 season.
I mean,
which
you
is
like
very
to see
true.
That's practically MIP.
But then, of course, in February, the injury happens.
Yes.
And then I saw this. So the Clippers, they let his contract expire in 2007 for the 08 season. They don't give him the $5.8 million qualifying offer, which when you kind of think about it, is a lot back then. Not saying for an injury. I just mean in general.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Do you think if Ballmer's the owner, they give him the qualifying offer to just help everything out?
No, I don't.
I think Ballmer does.
I don't.
I think it was a high enough pick, and it was like, I think it's a good gesture move. I think the money's there to spend it that I think Ballmer does.
I think that'd be awesome. I just think due to how devastating it seemed like this injury was going to be and like how long the timetable was.
No, but I mean it was like a good fate, like just like a no matter what happens, like here it is was my thinking of it.
I mean, I guess you're right. It's just, it's, I mean, a single year, it's a QO.
It's a good gesture like, move. Like, I think that's a move that Ballmer does.
You know, I'm still on the fence of probably not, but.
They gave Lou the extra year. You know, they paid Lou that year. Much different, for sure.
I'm rolling my eyes so hard, Charles, right now. If you can't hear it on
it's good
air,
faith stuff. I'm saying it's a good faith move.
I understand it. I would like if that was to be the case. I don't know that that's going to be.
Yeah, that's fair. So, of course, that was one promising young player for the Clippers where they suffer an injury break. And then we have the most Clippers injury ever, I think, actually.
Yeah.
It's Blake Griffin, Summer League MVP, just, of course.
Oh, my God. The way that this one happened. I mean,
final preseason game.
Preseason game. Oh, my God.
Brutal.
Coming down on a dunk.
Horrific. And there was... We were talking about this before we started recording. There was a Bill Simmons tweet from this time. I think it was like the first Summer League game where he's like, oh, I just saw Blake Griffin dive for a ball. Like, Clippers got a good one in this guy. Back when Bill Simmons tweeted with rationality. And it was so hyped because they're like, you're damn right.
Now all of his tweets are just bastin'.
Yeah, exactly.
B-A-H.
But so the entire season – is gone. They announce it the day before the season starts. Was it good he missed this season from a red shirt? You're a fan of the red shirt year, which we've talked about before.
So I think in terms...
In different contexts, for sure.
So here's the thing. I think that this was a little bit less effective of a red shirt year just because, you know... The coach situation would end up in flux from
the beginning.
Yeah, from the beginning. But I do think that the positives of this redshirt year was like, I don't mean to disparage our franchise, but Blake Griffin was coming into one of the most insane franchises you could come into.
Oh, for sure.
As a number one draft pick.
He's part of what we're going to talk about after this in terms of an absurd, like.
So I think that in terms of that, like, not having the pressure of like having to do well right away.
Yeah.
I think that there's none something at all to be said about that, that like just lets you a little bit come up to speed to be the player and be on the player.
And he's a smart player.
Just the person that you are.
That's a good call. And from a basketball sense, he's a smart player. So that year just observing benefits him more than a player with maybe not as much of a feel for the game.
Yeah. And
than he has. Because, like, it was there.
Yeah. I think that, like, and that's always my, like, my pro for the redshirt year is that, like, getting to see the game at an observational way in a different light than you've ever seen it. In the 18 years, probably, that you've been playing or whatever.
Yeah.
I think is extremely beneficial.
And so we have these two. We have the Sean Livingston and the Blake Griffin bad breaks. Those are rough breaks. We have one
bad
more.
Bad breaks.
We have one more bad break, which was.
Wipeout.
Oh, yeah. The Kyrie pick. Because there's some people listening who might not be familiar with what this turned into.
Yes. So, in the Baron Davis trade.
Which is fueled by. A feud.
Yes, with Donald Sterling.
The Baron Davis trade is fueled by Donald Sterling just deciding he hates Baron Davis.
Yep.
Who did...
Hey, why does he hate him, Charles?
It was like Baron Davis...
What's the deal?
Everyone knows the deal. Donald Sterling's a horrible person. You know, they ship off... Elton Brand and Baron Davis were very close.
Barry...
And it literally was a feud that turned into one of course, because it was the Clippers, most bad break situations.
Yes.
Like, say what the trade is for this, because if you think about this in 2020 terms, it will make your head hurt.
All right, so the trade is Baron and an unprotected first-round pick, wonder who that could end up being, for Mo Williams and Jamario Moon.
This is post LeBron Mo. This is like he's been hurt. He's not as effective without LeBron James, shockingly.
Shockingly.
And then Jamario Moon is Jamario Moon. So it's for a bucket of peanuts.
Yes.
Like, now that we know what draft picks are worth, I guess now. So here's how Bleacher Report reported the trade, which you listen to it like with the 2020 ears and you're like, this is insane.
It's absurd.
So it was a $28 million salary dump, which we needed to have happen, I guess, because honestly, I didn't want to pay Barron. But there was a clause in the next year's CBA that you could just wipe a bad contract from your team, and Cleveland just wiped that contract.
Love it.
So Cleveland came up super big.
I love it.
And Donald Sterling probably didn't have inside information on this because he's Donald Sterling. Here's how Bleacher Report reported the trade. The Cleveland Cavaliers and Los Angeles Clippers have agreed on a trade that will send Baron Davis to the woeful Cavaliers in exchange for Mo Williams and Jamario Moon. The Clippers will also be giving the Cavs their 2011 first-round pick. Considering that the Clippers owed the Baron approximately $28 million over the next 2 years, plus $13 million for the remainder of the season, the motivation for this trade was a salary dump. Davis signed a five-year, $65 million deal back in 2008 with L.A.
Five for 65?
Perhaps a lack of motivation ensued once Elton Brand left the team the same year to sign with the 76ers, as Barron's stats dropped significantly. So this reporting is completely on the Clippers' side. Right? Like, this reporting is like, this makes a but like...
More like Sterling report, am I right?
You know what I'm talking about? The first-round pick is an afterthought.
Yes.
Is what blows my mind.
This is just... I don't know, man. Like... This blows my mind to me just because, and maybe it's because we've been graced with some pretty solid drafts the last couple of years, but how closely people hold on to picks now, I just cannot see this.
It blows your mind.
I cannot see this in the modern time.
So it was insane that was an unprotected first-round pick, but that pick, the Clippers – did not just completely suck ass and, like, deserve the number one pick that year.
Yeah,
which
totally.
Is what makes this hard.
Yes.
The Clippers had the eighth best odds to get the number one pick. And they got, and that pick became the number one pick. So the Cavs ended up being able to draft Kyrie Irving.
Shot.
So here's my thing. We're going to get into the
Clips. You got to shoot your shot.
We're going to get into the best Clippers breaks after this break, right after we wrap up the worst parts. But so here was that draft. Kyrie went 1. Kemba went 9. Tristan Thompson went 4. Klay Thompson goes 11. Tobias was in this one. Jimmy Butler gets taken 30th. Cantor went 3rd.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Even if we had the number one pick, would we have fucked this up?
Oh, baby.
At the time...
Oh, man.
At the time.
Oh, buddy. You know it.
Something to think about. Coming up after this quick break, we're going to be talking the two best breaks in Clippers history. But first, well, you know I love books.
Do you? How do you have time to read them?
Well, I truly do. I'm so busy. I'm a very busy personal
assistant. You're pretty swamped.
I use Blinkist.
What's that?
Blinkist is actually really unique.
How does it work?
Despite what a lot of people said. It just works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser.
Oh, good. Incognito?
I know how you operate. I use Tor. Blinkist takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information, from thousands of nonfiction books and condenses them down into just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to.
Just 15 minutes?
Yeah. You know what kind of people use this?
Who?
EMTs and business leaders. They're well known for reading a lot of books. Blinkist is known for busy people like you who want to get the main points of a book quickly so you can start using that information right away. And with its audio feature, Blinkist makes it easy to finish a book during your commute. If you're still doing it, some people, if you're listening in Georgia, sorry, you have to go to work. 12 million people are using Blinkist right now, and it has a massive and growing library from self-help, business, health history books. Blinkist has the latest titles from bestseller lists as well as the classic nonfiction titles you're always meant to read. Whatever happened to you, check out Blinkist. Use promo code LOCKEDONNBA.
LOCKEDONNBA.
Get that Blinkist discount. Okay.
All right, so we're returning now. Whew. With biggest breaks in Clipper history, part two.
And this is truly the best part.
These are the good breaks,
if
baby.
If you stopped listening after the first segment, your loss.
July 5th, 2019.
What time?
nearly 11 p.m., 10:54 to be exact.
What happened?
I don't know if I can remember. Free agent Kawhi Leonard informed runners-up teams of his plans. He's signing with the Clippers.
I'm so excited for a brief 60 seconds. What else could possibly happen to make this day even better?
10:55 p.m. Oklahoma City is trading all-star Paul George to the Los Angeles Clippers for a record-setting collection of draft choices.
Okay.
Paul George is the only thing you need to remember.
Paul George is the only thing you remember. To get these two players, even after there are many more stories that we talked about other than those three that we illustrated in that first segment that are heartbreaking for the Clippers.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about the playoffs. We didn't talk about all of the other signings that didn't work out. Mm-hmm. Like, this break was, and this was a big break. Our front office is tight-lipped, which is both very unnerving and makes you feel good. It's very weird, right?
Break me off a piece of that clip cap bar.
Okay, I don't even know where you're coming from at this point. No, that, like, this, that tweet, which is still there, if you just Google, if you Google the phrase, Kawhi Leonard has informed, it's the first thing that pops up. I Google it once or twice a week due to the current situation. These were the two biggest breaks in Clippers history.
Truly, truly. And, like,
and the best moments in Clippers history.
The succession of how quickly they came, it ties into that whole thing of, like, this was, I mean, this, the Paul George move was so unexpected.
Hurts a little bit. Shea. Strictly because of Shea.
Who?
Come on, man. Don't do me like that.
No.
Don't do the listeners like that.
Come on. These are good breaks.
Hope Shea's doing good.
Good breaks.
Let us know how you felt about either of those breaks. Yeah. One of the scenarios is much better than the other three we talked about. But right now we're going to get to Twitter Tuesday.
That's right.
Brandon Baker says he saw some rumors linking Zach LaVine to the Clippers earlier. If we were to trade for a third/young star in the offseason, who should it be? LaVine, right now, for those who want to know, being paid $19.5 million every year till the beginning of the 2022 season. I have a fantastic idea because I've been in quarantine. I think we sign and trade Trez for Aaron Gordon.
You haven't even brought up the Aaron Gordon thing of this question yet.
Well, Aaron Gordon's that third star. I mean, it goes to Brandon Baker's thing.
Sign trade Trez for Aaron Gordon.
Yeah. Aaron Gordon has one of the craziest team-friendly contracts.
Not really. He's getting paid like $18 million a year.
$18 million next year, then $16 million the year after that. Then he's an undrafted free agent. It descends.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, it is front-loaded.
Like, so how much are we going to pay Trez?
If we were to trade for a third young star in the offseason, I mean, I love Aaron Gordon out of the two of these. I don't
want any part of LaVine.
I don't see the LaVine fit at all.
No.
I don't see it at all. I don't see any part of it fitting.
He puts up, like, plus 20 a game. It's like, it's not, he's not, like, I don't think he would want to come off the bench, which makes total sense if you're him. Like, he's making
and just positionally even, like, I don't get
it. It wouldn't work at all on the bench.
I mean, he'd have to come off the bench, right?
Yeah.
I truly don't know.
You're not starting him in place of Marcus.
Aaron Gordon, I think makes some sense.
And my trade idea was just for the idea of the trade. I don't think there's an actual thing we should do or anything
idea.
Like that.
Obviously, the Clippers were tied to Gordon into this, into the last
round. Trade deadline
of the trade deadline, which, you know, it didn't end up happening. We went with what we went with, and
am I getting a sense that you?
Nuh-uh.
Okay, something to explore in the later episode.
There's not a large enough sample size to really gauge what Morris has brought to this offense.
Sounds like someone who doesn't really think he brought anything with him.
But I will say that Gordon to me is very intriguing.
Off the bench? That's crazy.
No, I mean, he'd start at the four.
Then Morris would come off the bench.
In this scenario, in the offseason, I'm assuming if we're getting Gordon, we're not re-signing Morris.
Interesting. I was thinking we'd keep Morris.
And get Aaron Gordon?
Yeah.
Where does money come from in this scenario?
We're going luxury tax. Who cares?
So we're not keeping Trez?
He wants more. He wants like a weird amount, I think, in this scenario. Okay. I think Trez wants more than 18 or 16, 100%.
He wants more than 18.
Right?
I hope those boots were made for walking.
Well, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I just hope they were made for walking.
Okay. You're not trying to back up the truck for Trez.
More than 18 a year?
Yeah.
I'm not even saying that I don't think that he's worth it, because I do think that he's worth it. I'm just saying, if there's not a cap increase, and
which I'm just going to be honest,
there's
doesn't seem like there's going to be.
Not going to happen. Not going to happen.
I have very limited knowledge of that, but based on the global pandemic, it seems like a no.
Without an increase in the cap, and looking, oh man, it just gets so difficult because you've already given up so much for this 2-year window, right?
Yeah.
1 year of that maybe has been erased. We don't know.
Probably not.
But has possibly been erased.
I wake up every day, look in the mirror, and say, Clippers going to win the championship.
So, like, you have, you know, one more year with your all-stars, and then, you know, maybe best case scenario, you're able to keep two of them. All right? Let's say that that is the
and Lou.
And let's say that that is the scenario. You're able to keep both of them. Then you really have to start thinking about cap. And that gets really difficult if you got Trez for 20-plus a year.
We're not saying 20-plus, though. We're saying 18.
I know, but is
19 fine?
You're saying plus 18.
Well, is 19 fine?
I think 19 even makes it dicier, makes it trickier.
So you're saying 18's the line?
I think 18 is pretty damn near the line. Yeah.
Ooh, seems like 17's the line. It'll be interesting. I mean, I agree with all the points you're making. There's an intangible factor that I kind of battle with every day, how much it's worth or how much it truly is effective.
Dude, I'm not saying what Trez is worth. I'm just saying if you think about like the future of roster construction, I don't really get how you can
I think roster construction is totally blown up.
I don't think that I don't get how you're going to construct a roster around having your second string center make 20 mil a year.
Lou Will makes 2 million a year, that's how. In the year that you resign it. You know what I mean? Well, I mean, I feel like that's kind of weirdly what it's banking on. And you got Shamet's rookie contract, so you're hoping that comes in. Like, there's a lot of what ifs. Speaking of rookies.
Yeah. There's only 2 more years left, though, on that Shamet contract.
Totally agree. I know. It's horrible. at Black Sub-024, as what the next step for Cabin Gelly is. I don't know. More G League time.
More G League time.
Learning how to play the game, and I mean that in a very nice way.
More, and beyond that, just like getting comfortable. We saw in his limited run with other pros, he's not quite at the level of comfortability to where
physicality is not there.
Yeah, you can really trust him in the game, and he is still. I don't know. Has this changed for you at all? But like to me, Kevin Gelly, his skill set is still like a stretch 5. You know, like. He's like a 5.
Yeah, he's a stretch 5.
He's like a 5 who can
I'm
shoot.
I'm happy with that, though.
And I don't know how you would be unhappy with that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that, like, in order for that
but
to work.
But he's a young stretch 5.
Yeah, in order for that to work, the physicality has to really be ramped up.
Yeah, like the other part of being a 5 has to be there.
It's called a stretch 5.
Whoa. Yeah, the board, yeah. I'd like to see a little more Angel Delgado.
It's not called a stretch Armstrong.
I'd like to see a little more Angel Delgado.
Yeah.
In that game. Tenacity on the boards. We good to see. Couple more before we head. Couple more before we head to the shavings. Joe G wants to know what our chances of seeing a jump shot of any kind this season from our team are. Good. Keep hope alive.
Keep hope alive. You know, we'll know more next month.
Oh man, I hope we do.
We'll know more next month, and the thing is it's so out of our hands that.
Oh, no, I'm
personally
dictating
the schedule.
It's
like for me to even feel angry about it, I would have to feel like a baby suspended from something, kicking and screaming, like in air. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like just a double removed baby.
You're like a David Lynch NBA Twitter fan.
Yeah.
Like, Yeah, like, I don't, I mean, you just got to keep hope.
I mean, we're hopeful that they can figure something out or that we can do the playoffs.
The Disneyland idea. Keith Smith nailed it.
Or the Disneyland
Keith
idea.
Keith Smith already got it right.
And there's still so many moving parts to even get that to work. Like, you got to get every player.
Oh, Mickey Mouse has to sign a couple extra forms.
You got to get every player to get on board. You got to get all the training staff. But we're still like, I'm not willing to give up hope yet.
Absolutely
not.
There's no reason
Until I'm told that no, it's not happening. You're an idiot, William Updike.
That also.
Until those exact words are said from the NBA office, it's still going to happen.
Some of them have been said before, but in a very different context. Also, that doesn't mean you should still be staying home. We want the NBA to come back. Everyone still just stay up.
If you want the NBA to come back, you should be
staying
up.
Stay the hell up. So our old coworker, Jenna Bezitsky. He asked, how will we even have a parade when the Clippers win the title in a few months? And I'm saying augmented reality parade. And I think it'll be awesome.
Can't everybody just stand on their own roof? I mean, buildings are all at least 6 feet apart, aren't they?
I don't know if I trust my roof.
I trust mine.
Damn, weird. I mean, I'll take the flex, but like, no, that's fair. No, augmented reality. That's what you do. Just like you switch your background and you're having a big parade with jellyfish.
If this ended up,
you feel me?
If this ended up being a Clippers parade where we couldn't hold like public assembly, this would be the most Clippers shit ever.
Who cares?
I would freaking love it.
I welcome it.
I would open my door and I would just scream out the.
Oh, we got a chip, but we didn't get a parade. Oh, because we're worried about public health safety. Best reason to never have a parade.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, how come you didn't have a parade? Oh, because of there's a pandemic. That's a fantastic reason.
Yeah.
You know, the Hawks win a championship. They're having a parade. Everyone gets sick. It's horrible.
Wait, bagging on the Hawks.
I'm bagging on Georgia. Hawks are a great organization. They're not opening their facilities.
Seems like you're coming out on the Hawks in this.
No. Shout out the Hawks.
That.
Real quick, Ryan Snelling wants to know if we could outdrink Ralph. I'm going to say it right now. Absolutely not. He's the strongest man in the world next to Gallo.
Ralph? Oh, I could outdrink Ralph.
Okay. We'll see what that. Ralph Lawler, the gauntlet has been thrown down.
He's old.
Doesn't matter.
I mean, he's young.
I take that back. Coming after this, we got a real quick shavings update. Okay. So we have not a question from Eric Santanity. He acknowledges that. He says, I have no questions. Just use your platform to let everyone know what scum the Lakers are for stealing money.
Okay, great. I'm happy to get into this one.
What the hell are they doing over there? Get a grip!
If you're unaware, there's a multitude of small business relief available to...
There was actually one giant big-ass pile of it.
And the Lakers somehow applied to this small business relief, which I guess they met some criteria there.
Technically less than 500 employees. I don't know how that shit works.
They somehow got approved and then later returned the $4.6 million that they received after the fund had run out.
It's also should be noted, they were the only NBA team, and I have to assume the only North American professional sports team to apply for the small business loan.
They must have been or it would have come out, I feel like.
And like, all right, so say the fund doesn't run out and the Lakers keep their $4.6 million.
Yeah.
What do they do with it?
I don't know. What does $4.6 million even buy for the Lakers?
Nothing! They're the second most valuable NBA franchise. Like, what the hell? What is your deal?
It's so absurd. It's so absurd.
And they only return it after the fund runs out? Like, first of all, yes, they could have not returned it. I'm glad they returned it.
Here's the thing, though.
But.
We were talking about this before. That money is as good as gone.
It's gone.
That money is as good as gone. Like, the fund is run out.
They're giving it back to this government that's going
to
be
bureaucracy.
Like, yeah.
Giving it back to bureaucracy, which just like even in a vacuum is not
for
good.
Sure.
It's not coming back at max efficiency. So that money's already gone out.
Sir, I beg of you, please do not disrespect bureaucracy as hard as you should.
So that money's, to me, gone. That money is gone.
Yeah.
no small business that needs that. No,
no, that's going towards like tanning beds and like cable bills. I don't know what this administration spends money on. It's just, why would they even apply? Like, get a grip. This is the only time in my life I've ever said that phrase. Get a grip.
Get a grip. And like, I don't know. You're like,
fuck off. Like,
yeah, you're asking, I don't know. You're asking people within your organization to like take pay breaks and stuff like that. I don't know, man. This whole thing is like, this
everything's wonky.
This whole thing has got me burned. It's got me burned. And I, you know, that I'm already pretty, I mean, I was wearing a literal tinfoil hat.
Truly.
Earlier,
yeah.
Earlier today.
About this is a dickhead move.
But like the, yeah, this is a dick move.
It's the rare dickhead / jackass move. If you're well versed in these two words,
you shit move.
There you go, man. You nailed it. Glad they returned it to. God damn it.
That money, but like that money is not going to someone else. That money is not going. No one's getting $4.6 million.
Well, I did. I got a check from like $4.6 million this morning. So let's end on some good news.
All right, let's do it.
All May.
Oh.
Thanks to Fox Sports.
That's a good month.
That's a good month. Some of the Clippers' biggest games will be played on Fox Sports starting on Sunday the 3rd.
Wow, interesting day. That's a good day to start, too.
Yeah. What's going on that day?
I don't know, but it seems like a good day. It was just in a vacuum. It seems like the best day that you could start something.
Seems like a toss-up.
Or B, start it.
Seems like a toss-up. Is your birthday this?
I don't know. I'd have to look at a calendar.
Yeah, I'll figure it out. After that, it's every Wednesday and Thursday nights. They released a schedule of it. We put it on at Locked On Clips. We got Blake's first triple-double. You got a McAdoo 50 burger in there.
What a pleasure. I can't wait to see that.
We got the Odom debut versus the Sonics, which I'm definitely invested in. Shout out to Fox Sports. I'm definitely going to stream these legally.
Yes, as we always do.
Maybe we should do like a discussion thing on Twitter or some shit after.
Yes.
Talk it out. Be a good time. Keep an eye out on Twitter, at Locked On Clips. That about wraps it up. Thank you so much for kicking it with us tonight. Today when you're listening to it. Yeah. We appreciate it. Check out Rejecting the Screen.
Hey, yeah, you might have even heard their preview over here.
Played an 11-minute preview for you guys. Not our choice. Friday's episode, we're going to be talking about the biggest break in Clippers history. The day that Kawhi and PG became a Clipper with special guest Carl Tart. Party Carl Tart.
Party Carl Tart.
As the fans know him as.
We'll have a Love, Mary quarantine for you. Whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, be sure to please check us out. I know that times are difficult, but still, you could subscribe on iTunes. Maybe leave a rating or a review. It'll cost you nothing.
Unless you want to Venmo us $1, which I'll return it for you.
We'll go Lakers on it. We'll take your $4.5 million. We'll send it back to you.
Yeah.
Mostly.
Can we apply for the small business loan?
I mean, there's only two employees here.
That's not very many. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.